You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to Fire Up MUA. My name is David Ball, and I'm here with my co-host, Aaron Moon. How are you, Aaron?
Very well, David. How are you?
Great, mate. It's been a really busy couple of weeks here at MUA land. I know we've both been really busy. We think Robert Casper Lumsden will join us shortly. Hi, Annie. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. You've been very busy?
We have been. We've spoken a lot about these disputes over the last couple of shows, but they are continuing to consume our lives. With the Spitzer dispute this week, we've had a four-hour national stoppage, which I think on the meeting, a lot of the guys who work in the industry can't remember the last time we stopped every tug in the country. Well, every tug that was a Spitzer tug, which is in 21 different ports. So that was pretty exciting, and we had a four-hour stop work meeting. The company against the MUA wishes, against AIMPI's wishes, against the AMOU's wishes, have put a document out forcing a vote. So all three...
What are we asking our members to do, Dave?
Vote no, Aaron. We're asking them to vote no.
Vote early, vote no.
All of the unions, bless their hearts, are running our vote no campaign.
When did you get so religious?
Which is great to see a bit of unity at last, which is what we need to win this dispute with this company, who are trying to undo some fantastic conditions that have been in the industry for a long time. They're trying to reinvent the wheel.
Fantastic conditions for us, but they're conditions that make the industry work so efficiently too. So
yeah, absolutely.
They can't work without our rosters and without our labour without the professionalism of our guys and our women on the tugs as well. It's just beyond belief that they would try and strip away all these consultative measures that facilitate a collaborative approach to protecting the industry. Whilst doing that, they ignore all the regulatory frameworks and implications and just want to attack the conditions of their workers. Absolutely beyond belief.
Yeah, and, they're trying to employ a similar strategy to Patrick's, or that's how it seems, that they might, rip apart the EA and go back to the award. And it's simply, the EA has moved on so far since we worked under the award. And the award just doesn't have enough conditions and rosters, and it just doesn't work anymore. And they couldn't run their business under the award. So it's a ridiculous suggestion by them to even try it. So,
yeah. So, but we've just requested that all of our members, all of our listeners that work on those tugs vote no. Unanimously this week that the workforce wants Spitzer to rejoin the bargaining table and reach a sensible outcome. So
those results of that vote will be out Saturday at midday. So I don't think it'll be much of an exciting thing to look forward to, because I'm confident that it'll be a no vote, a resounding no vote, and I know that all members of all unions are going to vote no. So it's not even something to look forward to. I know it's going to happen.
So are you saying that all three unions that are related to work on tugs are now involved in this dispute?
Like, that's right. They always have been, Annie. It's a national EA that covers all three positions on the tug, the skipper who drives the tug, the engineer who I think pushes some buttons, and
maintains the engine of the tug or something like that.
And the deck handle in Victoria, Brisbane and Adelaide, I think Frio as well, is a integrated rating who basically does everything else. So, yeah, it always has been the three unions. Historically, it hasn't always been that way. They've had separate EBAs. But for the last two EBAs, it's been a joint EBA. So everybody's on board and everybody's working together. So it's really good, and it's what's needed to defeat the boss.
Mm.
Sure. So, we've got some exciting training coming up, Aaron, so delegates training.
Yeah, we do. We do delegates training next week. So it's the first time in a little while we've done it. Pretty excited for it. It's going to be a few big days of training.
The highlight, the middle day.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about some of our activities on that day.
The middle day, yeah. So the middle day we will be having the General Secretary of the Maritime Division, the MUA, Paddy Crumlin, opening the event, albeit we would have snuck a quick day in before he got there, but he'll be formally opening the event and providing what one of the things Paddy does best is we'll give a great overview of the training, the history of our union, why we're a political organisation, some of the amazing disputes that we've historically been involved in, and all the social justice issues that we've been involved in as a union that shapes what we are. So we're not just wages and conditions. We're an organisation, a union of people that have cared about the broader community and the implications that politics has on the lives of working people across the working class spectrum. So that'll be pretty fantastic.
Paddy's a pretty great talker.
He is a great orator, Paddy. So it'll be great to have him.
And then later on in that afternoon, we're going to do a bit of a historical walk around Melbourne.
Yep, yes. So later on that afternoon, again, tying into the
history
and the social leanings of unions. In the past, the construction division had green bands, and many of our regular listeners would know that the construction division had green bands in place, which they were when the Builders Labourers Federation refused to knock down heritage buildings or build over parks that working people got to enjoy in the past, and we'll have a great friend of
They actually saved Victoria Market and the city bars and the older part of what's now RMIT, the law courts.
You're going to spoil the tour for our listeners.
Oh, sorry.
No, it is exactly right. They saved the Melbourne bars, the big markets, Carlton Gardens, basically loads of areas around the city that were accessible for working people were saved and preserved to this day by green bands and kept them out of the pockets of greedy developers. And a great friend of our union, Dave Kieran, will be given that. He's a wonderful legend of the trade unions, and just an amazing person is probably the other way I can describe him.
When's all this happening?
Next week, next Wednesday, the 17th of November.
Yeah.
And that evening, it doesn't finish there.
Yeah, that evening we'll be having a private screening of the MV Portland dispute documentary that was made up after we had a dispute down there in Portland where many of our seafarers were dragged off the vessel in the middle of the night by security guards and replaced by exploited labour to sail their ship off into the night, never to return back to the Australian coast. Only to return back under a flag of convenience regime that is
and that
we're reliably informed has been robbing working people from the third world to the tune of billions of dollars.
International vessels with international crews are still plying that trade. It still continues from Western Australia to Portland on a regular basis. And I just heard during the week that the Portland smelter was going to fire up a a dormant
blast furnace,
something to increase its production considerably. I think by 35% or something. So the smelter's going from strength to strength, and our seafarers are still out in the cold. So it's a bit of
a tearjerker.
It's a bitter issue actually, but it is a bitter of a tearjerker as well.
The film itself, though,
it's still very bitter on our mouths, and we're not going to give up the fight. It's going to continue until we win that ply back. But our other member of our esteemed team has arrived.
Esteemed,
steamy,
maybe. Yeah,
under the shroud of a white blanket, Casper the Ghost.
Whoa!
You know that Alcoa stuff really irks me because they get both federal and state support funding.
It's millions.
It's just wrong.
Absolutely.
So if our own governments aren't going to stick up for, Australian jobs, well, who the hell is?
It's an absolute.
That's why we've got to keep. That's why our fight's so tough and continue it.
Yeah, that's right.
Speaking of Portland, you're responsible for Portland, Eric Casper. Is it much happening down there at the moment?
No, there's not. It's very quiet. It's next couple of weeks are very quiet down there at the moment. Things are it fluctuates as the bulk in general does anyway. But the logboats seem to be the ones down there that sort of drive it. And if there's no logboat for a little while, then there's only bits and pieces.
Pat was just choking on his coffee there. We've had a bit of a discussion about Spitzer, mate, but Patrick's is the other big news. Of course, I said to Annie earlier, I know we talked about this week after week after week, but they're just consuming all our time here, and the Patrick's saga has gone to the next level.
Certainly has. So, as the members probably know that they lodged to terminate the agreement approximately 2 weeks ago along those sort of timelines. And then they went to the commission, didn't realise what they'd done. They thought they'd go to the commission and because they were applying to have the agreement terminated, that they'd be able to terminate the action, the protected industrial action that's every worker's right to take legally. And when the commissioner said, no, you would understand that the MUA is within their right to continue to take action, even if this is terminated, I think they were taken quite by surprise. So it just shows the lack of their ability. So I think the lack of ability to run this business and actually know what's going on and stop getting in the media and bagging the workforce. You know, get to the table. That's what we've been asking. The reason why we put the action on was to get to the table, and they still haven't done that. They followed. So once they realised they couldn't knock the action off that way, it was then they then lodged a what's called a Section 424 earlier this week, and that's to have the action terminated, and that's they use the basis of it's damaging the economy. I think it's a bit of a stretch. I think they'd actually have trouble doing that in the commission, proving that.
Well, there's two other terminals in three to four of five ports.
So I doubt whether they, but anyhow, in regards to whether I think it or not, that's where it sits. And but we're doing our utmost to get them to the table and get an agreement, which is what's been the hold up. And it's funny, when they lodged to terminate the agreement, they lodged on the basis of it wasn't fit for purpose so anymore, which is quite intriguing when only a month or two before that they put an offer to the MUA around a rollover. So which one is it? I mean, they both can't be right. So
interesting. Rob, it's interesting because there's a thing about this whole thing. This business about not going to the table makes out that you're intractable and the dispute's intractable, and therefore that's why you can go back to the award. It's part of the Fair Work Commission arrangement, right? That's how they've set it up. And then they think they're so clever that they'll, sit on their hands. They think they're so clever, and then they're going to go and say that it's all, it's wrecking the economy. I mean,
yeah, it's,
they're scumbags, basically.
They are. And the other ridiculous thing is that if the agreement was terminated, we went back to the award, their business would fall over within a month. Like, they couldn't possibly run their business on the award.
Nah.
Because it's, you know, we're 7 hour shifts.
Yeah, we're talking about Switzerland. Our rosters are what keep that terminal going.
It's our workforce, keeps it going. Our members going to work 24/7.
Yeah.
It's just, it's, so it just beggars belief. They want to apply to the commission to terminate the agreement, to go back to the award. That would ruin their business completely.
They want to crush people. They want people to be like slaves.
They do. And they, you know, companies like, powerful conglomerates like Patrick want to wedge the union and its members, and the members will stick fat, they will stick together, and we will get an agreement that is fair and just to everyone. That's our mantra, to make sure our members get a fair agreement. That's all we want.
And a couple of days ago, they applied again to the commission with a 424.
Yeah.
Was it a 424? You said that?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, Dave.
I know it's early in the morning, mate, but I'm a little dozy. I didn't think we were that boring.
So just in line with that, a couple of days ago, the MUA were summoned to the Prime Minister's Department along with all the leading industry groups in our industry and all the major stevedores to answer to a breakdown in productivity and slowness in the ports, and complaining that industrial relations activity was having a massive impact on all of that. And interesting, it was, I think, the CEO of DP World that got up and said productivity was through the roof, and they were...
and shit can part of the ACCC report that was coming off the back of. So it would appear from the outside looking.
A bit of political tap dancing on the part of our illustrious leader.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
perish the thought.
Perish the thought.
He wouldn't.
Oh, they're bobbing up and down the water. The Liberals, and they need a scalp, and they.
He wouldn't look for a slogan or a political angle in a dispute, would he?
Why is he travelling? Fair dinkum for credibility.
Yeah, he came back from overseas, and he looked like a marionette on a string.
It was pretty funny watching him trying to find some friends over there. Well, how do you go pissing off China, the States, and the French all in one foul swoop?
Doing well.
He's doing so good.
Yeah.
Fell swoop. Sorry.
And the Labor Party finally worked out how we're a chance.
Given my Novocastrian pronunciation a bit of a bag, Rob.
Yes. How we're a chance to win an election. Just hide. Yeah. Elbo hasn't been seen in weeks or months or
no,
he's around. Well, Bill Short made the mistake of bringing out too many policies. I mean, fancy having policies leading into election.
That's right. Did,
didn't work at all.
Yeah, and now what we've got is, what is it, the manufacturers or whatever, the industry people stealing Shorten's policies now.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Gee, it's a weird world, that one, isn't it? The world of politics.
Mm.
You'll
always follow the money, and if you think it's going to work out well, look at the bottom line and see what they're really saying. You know, they always say something nice and cheery. So for today, apparently Morrison's all into electric cars, come to Victoria, electric cars. And I got in my post this unsigned piece of paper with a MR code on it or QR code on it saying that Daniel Andrews is trying to add all these special powers, and that you should click on to the QR code, and at the bottom it's got the rights that your grandparents know will be gone, and your grandchildren won't even know what that they've lost. So yeah, obviously something's happening. Someone's building a fire.
Yep. Plenty of people walking around with a lighter.
That's not very good news.
The electric car policy has already been criticised by the electric car industry peak body, saying it was a fizzer and it was something you would have done 10 years ago. But right now that is just too little too late, and it's it's putting a band-aid over a wound.
Yeah. So a couple of other things, I suppose, from apart from the industrial stuff. We've done a bit of work on the auditorium, Dave. That's been a bit of for the members while we're
yeah,
in a way, as we move towards welcoming them all back in a few
back
weeks.
For our AGMs.
It's a special place, the MUA Auditorium. It's a place where left wing non for profit groups can come and call their home and have their events, and we enjoy having those groups down there, and we enjoy being the home of left wing groups and obviously our members that, who are often a part of those groups. We have done some massive renovations down there, new carpet, painting. We're hoping to get our historical banner encased in a Perspex case because it's actually double-sided. It's been hanging on the wall for many years and you can only see one side of it. So we need to get that in a case so that people can see both sides of it.
A bit like a mattress, turning it over so we see the shiny bright side now.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic banner. It's so big and it's heritage listed and all that sort of stuff. And the idea was that...
And all this life will be done in time for our old-timers show on the
15th of December, where we invite all our friends of seafarers, retired members, mainly retired seafarers, although it has been a bit more open than that. And friends of the MUA get invited to come along to the rooms and we have a bit of a Christmas drink, and that's always a great event. And we have some fantastic members every year who come and help with that event. We actually do all the catering. All our members from the catering part of our industry, the stewards and the cooks, all come along and get their hands dirty and present a fantastic spread of food, and it always includes beautiful lobster and seafood.
Yeah, no, it's just wow. Good to have. It's just good to have the auditorium a little bit spruced up and to be able to welcome our members back now that we open as the vaccination rates, you know, move into the 80 and then towards 90%, to be able to have and welcome back our members. That's something we're looking forward to as a branch, as we've missed all that interaction, personal interaction. So
we've come to the end of another show close, and I think we've put a song up earlier. You guys weren't here, so I've chosen a song again. And it's,
what happened to the one I sent you?
Oh, I didn't see it. What is it?
Yes, you did. You said it was a good song.
Oh, what is it?
We'll have a blue for 10 minutes, Danny. Go on, Dave.
Bends Are Burning by Midnight Oil. Thank you, guys.
Have a great day, members.
It's just for all of Scott Morrison's electric cars.
From Kentucky East to
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.